Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenges. Today's Wednesday, the day in our weekly rhythm where we try to make sense of what we read yesterday. And right now, our series is Pioneer Story, trying to read the book of Acts and understand how the first Christians gathered as a community. And this week, we're talking about the prerequisites that they had to wrestle with. Did people need to become Jews and mark themselves as such before becoming Christians? And there was a debate in the book of Acts as they tried to figure that out, with the Jewish Christians and the non-Jewish Christians disagreeing over whether new Christians needed to become Jews first. So the leaders of the Christian church in Antioch, of a non-Jewish church, Paul and Barnabas, came to visit the leaders of the Jewish church in Jerusalem, and they came together and there was a good sense of unity, and they told some happy stories of what God had been doing. And then they got down to business and they decided that since God had only saved the Jews by grace, he could save others by grace as well. And they decided that that was entirely consistent with what Jesus had taught, with what the Holy Spirit seemed to be doing, and so they should show grace to others as well. There were still some challenges to figure out on how that would work practically, but they knew that's where they wanted to go. They wanted to show grace. They decided there was no requirement that non-Jews be circumcised first, but they did ask the non-Jewish Christians to make a few concessions just to bring the church together, to make sure they could all be in one room at the same time if they needed to be. Here's how those first Christian leaders crafted their message and communicated it, and here's the concessions that they decided on. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders, with the whole church, to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers, with the following letter. The brothers, both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you with words, unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instructions, it has seemed good to us, having come to one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. So we can see here that this letter is very conciliatory. It's trying to bring them all together. It's saying that those who were giving them a hard time about not having been circumcised first were not sent by the Jewish Christian leaders. They didn't endorse this, they don't agree with this, and they have made it really clear that they just love what Paul and Barnabas are doing, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others who aren't Jewish and don't need to become Jewish. So they're really clear in this letter with what they've decided together, and I'm glad they are. It's a good thing, and I'm sure it brought some unity. And they even backed up that unity by sending some of the Jewish Christian leaders with Paul and Barnabas. So it was clear that Paul and Barnabas weren't making this up. Without, you know, modern communications, this was the best they could do. And I'm sure it gave a great opportunity for some of those other Christian leaders to travel and begin sharing the gospel with others as well. However, there is one troubling thing here. We might think, you know what? We just decided that the non-Jewish Christians didn't need to be circumcised, didn't need to follow the Jewish law in order to be Christians. And then it looks like they go and impose four new rules on them. We just said we didn't need to worry about rules, and now it sounds like we're adding rules. So what's up with that? Well, it's important we see the reason for these rules. They weren't there as new rules for salvation. Nobody was saying, you have to follow these rules if you want God to like you, to love you, to care for you, any of that. Nobody is saying that this is what it means to be a Christian, that you must do those things. Anybody who eats blood or anything like that is not a Christian. That's not what's being said here. What is being said is that if we want to all be Christians together, if we want to have harmony in the Christian family, we might need to make some concessions. They recognized, of course, that there were and always would be Jewish Christians, people who were Jews first, then became Christians, and had lived their entire lives following certain dietary laws, following other laws about who they could associate with and so on, what was clean and what was unclean. It's a part of who they were, part of who they are. And of course, we don't all easily change. And there wasn't a problem with those laws. They were meant to help point people to Jesus. They were meant to help prepare people for the fulfillment of the law that Jesus represented. They weren't meant to actually save people. Jesus was the one who was going to save people. The law was meant to prepare them for him. So because those Jewish Christians had that tradition of keeping the law, they would never be able to associate with people who hadn't become Jews first and didn't follow those same dietary laws if they didn't relax their standards a little bit, as we see here. And the Gentiles, if they were participating in certain activities, would certainly be unclean in the Jews' eyes and would never be allowed to associate with them if they didn't compromise their ways. And so we see both sides compromising. The Jews are going to associate with people they never would have associated before, and the non-Jewish Christians are now going to change some of their behaviors so that they can have unity, so they can sit at the same table with the Jewish Christians and enjoy a meal with them. And we see these four things that are asked of the Gentile Christians so they can sit at the same table with the Jewish Christians. Well, two of them have to do with food. The first one has to do with not buying meat sacrificed to idols and eating it. And that might seem strange to us, but in fact, in a market in those days, most of the meat that people encountered would probably have been sacrificed to one god or another first before it was sent to the market to be sold. They didn't consume all the meat as part of these ritual sacrifices. They would have lots left over available for sale. And so, unless you were raising your own meat, anybody who was buying meat at the market was likely buying meat sacrificed to idols. And the Gentiles, who had never been Jewish, would of course not have a problem with that. They probably believed in many gods before that. They'd probably sacrificed meat to those gods and wouldn't have considered it a big deal to eat it. So they asked the Gentile Christians, the non-Jewish Christians, if they would just refrain from eating that kind of meat, because that will keep them from becoming unclean and the Jewish Christians being unable to associate with them. So just for unity, can you watch what you eat, not eat meat sacrificed to idols, even though, you know, we don't believe those sacrifices are real or have any effect on the meat itself. Just can you stay back from that anyway? The next two kind of go together. Don't eat anything with blood in it. Would basically mean don't eat anything that was strangled. If something was strangled and not slaughtered, it would mean the blood was still in it, and that would have made it quite unclean for any Jew to eat. And so they ask again the Gentile Christians to just refrain from eating those foods so they're not unclean, so that the Jewish Christians can associate with them, eat at the same table with them, which was really important to hospitality in the Middle East. And the last one's a bit strange because it says to refrain from sexual immorality. And it's a bit surprising because surely any Christian, whether they're from a Jewish or a non-Jewish background, should have known by this point that Jesus' teaching would have prevented them from any kind of sexual immorality anyway. I think it's here because it would have been such a key part of their old way of worship. When they were worshiping pagan gods and idols in these temples, temple prostitution would have been a big thing. It would have been a big part of their worship. And so I think what's happening here is they're just making sure those non-Jewish Christians know that part of their life is no longer permissible. Just making that really clear, I guess, even though it should have been clear from Jesus' teaching already. All right, here's a question for you to think about. Were these concessions really worth it for unity? Which side do you think sacrificed more? Have a great discussion. And don't forget, we read the Bible in sync as one community, so check out our website or app to see what today's Bible reading is. Have a great one. Bye for now.